Hey everybody, this is Brent Kellogg, the pastor of Hillspring Church in Sand Springs, Oklahoma. And this is our podcast. Thanks for taking time to join us today. Our prayer is that this would inspire you, build your faith, and help you take the next step in Christ. Enjoy the message. We are walking through the book of Genesis. It's our beginnings. That's what Genesis means. It's origins or beginnings. And it's our story. It's a story of humanity. And it's our story as followers of Christ. And we're really about to open and unpack those pages about where we're things that will really start pointing to Jesus and the Abraham covenant, if you will, where the father Abraham, or the descendants of Abraham, the Jewish people, so where all that originates. If you have your Bible, you can open up to Genesis chapter 11, because that's where we're going to spend some time reading. And in Genesis chapter 11, it has the account of the Tower of Babel. Pastor Matt did a great job walking through that. And then it moves through the lineage of Noah, and eventually where God would choose and establish an eternal covenant through one man, Abraham. Noah, let me back up, if I could, had three sons, and then those sons had wives, and they were all on the ark and survived the flood. Ham, who would become the father of Canaan, and if you grew up in Sunday school or whatever, you know, Canaan land or whatever, that was really kind of the promised land. That was the Canaanites that Israel will defeat once you move into like the book of Joshua. Ham was their kind of their forefather, if you will. He had no grace for his father's grief. Noah, we think, was just kind of dealing with survivor's grief, dealing with the destruction of that. Has a bad day, got a little too inebriated, and Ham kind of points that grief out to his brothers, almost in a mocking way, mocks his father, and it was very costly for Ham, and it was very costly for his descendants, because Noah, when he kind of woke up out of his stupor, he realized what was happening, and he kind of spoke harshly to Ham, if you will, and we use the term, he kind of spoke a curse over his son Canaan. And then Japheth, we don't really know a lot about Noah's son Japheth, but then Shem would be the lineage of promise, because it's through Shem we will eventually get to Abraham, we'll eventually get to David, we will eventually get to Jesus, okay? They're listed, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. When Moses wrote the book of Genesis, that's typically the order he put them in. So what's confusing is because Jewish custom would have listed those sons in birth order. So if you were to read it according to Genesis, Shem, Ham, Japheth, and so the automatic assumption would be Shem was the oldest, Ham was the middle, and Japheth was the youngest, but that's actually not true. I don't know why Moses wrote it this way, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, because Genesis 9 calls Ham Noah's actually youngest son. And then Genesis chapter 10, verse 21 says Shem's older brother was Japheth. So according to this, then Japheth would be the oldest, then Shem, and then Ham would be the youngest. Genesis chapter 11 goes all the way from Shem to a man we're going to spend some time talking about today named Terah, T-E-R-A-H. And he has three sons, Abram, who will eventually become Abraham. So if I slip up today and I use the word Abraham, even though that may not be the term or the word that's used in Genesis 11, Abram's name will eventually become Abraham. Nahor, we don't know a lot about him. He will quickly disappear from the story. And then Haran, okay, which could also be pronounced Aaron. It's kind of a spelling of, but Haran, okay. So I want to read just a few verses about Abram, about his father, Terah. Okay, so Genesis chapter 11, verse 27. If you're ready, say, oh yeah. Yeah. All right, here we go. This is the account of Terah's family. Terah was the father of Abram, Nahor, and Haran. And Haran was the father of Lot. But Haran died in Ur of Chaldeans. That's a place, Ur of Chaldeans, the land of his birth, while his father Terah was still living. An interesting take on how the New Living Translation, which is what I read of how it translates that. Meanwhile, verse 29, meanwhile, Abram and Nahor both married. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai, and the name of Nahor's wife was Milcah. Milcah, her sister Iscar, was daughter of Nahor's brother Haran. Like, it just hurts. Don't do that math. Family trees stop branching out. It gets weird, right? Okay, so the Sarai was unable to become pregnant, and she had no children. Verse 31. One day, Terah took his son Abram, his daughter-in-law Sarai, which was his son Abram's wife. And I want to talk just for just a second before we move further about Sarai. Eventually, her name will become Sarah. And we love to put that importance of names and what they mean. And even with Abraham and Sarah, God literally changed their names. Sarai was actually named after a moon god of the land of Chaldeans. Okay? So her name has a couple of, when I said it has a couple of meanings, you can go back to the words or the syllables that make up her name. And so Sarai actually means combative and testy. But it also is a version of the word princess. So like if you look at its context, it means combative princess. Like it would have been great for reality TV. You know what I'm saying? But then her name will be changed to Sarah, which takes the combative and the testiness out of it and literally just means she is princess, okay? So by the time you get to Genesis chapter 17, her name will be changed, all right? So verse 31, Terah took his son Abram, his daughter-in-law Sarai, his grandson Lot, and Lot was Haran's child. Remember, Haran died, and he moved away from the Ur of Chaldeans. He was headed for the land of Canaan, but they stopped at Haran and settled there. Terah lived for 205 years and died while still in Haran, or Haran, okay? So Genesis 11 gives us a little bit of a problem with Abraham's story. Maybe you've never been made aware of that. Maybe you didn't know. You know, you kind of read that. And you read that combination of verses. It reads like they're leaving Ur of Chaldeans. They're moving towards Canaan land, right? And it reads like it was Terah, Abraham's father's doing. Like if you read Genesis chapter 11, it looks like Terah took Abraham, Lot, their wives, and Terah was the one that moved them towards Canaan, okay? I want to look at Genesis chapter 12. It adds a little bit more confusion. We're going to look at other parts of Scripture to kind of clear that up, okay? Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, it says, "The Lord had said to Abram, 'Leave your native country, your relatives and your father's family, and go to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you, make you famous. You will be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse those who treat you with contempt. All of the families of the earth will be blessed through you.' So Abram departed as the Lord instructed, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he left Haran." Okay? So Genesis 11 and Genesis 12, if they're true chronologically, it reads like Abraham's father, Terah, said, "Boys, we're leaving." And he takes Abraham and he takes Haran's son, Nahor, then exit, like he leaves the story. We don't know what else ever happens to Nahor, but Abraham and Lot go with Terah. They leave the Ur of Chaldeans, okay? And they head towards Canaan, but they stop in this town called Haran. Here's the problem. And it's not really a conflict. It's pretty easily resolved. Genesis 12 helps us with that a little bit. So it doesn't mean that, oh, Genesis is lying to us. It doesn't mean that Scripture has error in it right there. It's just context. It's context of placement. So I'm going to put a verse up on the screen for you that takes us to the New Testament. And one of the early followers of Christ, a guy by the name of Stephen, he'd been arrested. Now he's appearing before the Jewish High Council. They're demanding that he answer their accusations. And instead of answering their accusations, Stephen preaches a sermon and he goes back to Genesis. He goes back to the beginning. He goes back to Father Abraham. So let me put on the screen for you Acts chapter 7, because he tells Genesis chapter 11 just a little bit differently, okay? Verse 1, it said, "Then the high priest asked Stephen, 'Are these accusations true?'" Like, answer us. And so verse 2, it says, "This was Stephen's reply. Brothers and fathers, listen to me. Our glorious God appeared to our ancestor Abraham in Mesopotamia before he settled in Haran. He appeared to him back at Ur of Chaldeans before he ever got to Haran. God told him, leave your native land and your relatives and come into the land I will show you. So Abraham left the land of the Chaldeans and he lived in Haran until his father died. Then God brought him here to where we live, because Israel, the land where they're even today, where they're fighting over, that is the land of Canaan, all right? This context, this timeline fits a little bit differently than Genesis chapter 11. Stephen's telling of Abraham says that God spoke to Abraham, not Terah, God spoke to Abraham back in Mesopotamia, in the Ur of Chaldeans, before they ever got to Haran. And this was the instructions God gave him. Leave your native land. We're going to get you out of here. Leave your relatives. And then just follow me to the land I'll show you. So Abraham left. He gets to this place called Haran. He lived there until his father died. And then he finished the journey on to Canaan that is now the land of Israel. Okay. Genesis 11. You could read Genesis 11 and you're like, well, was it Abraham that was following God? Or was it Terah? Because Genesis 11 makes it sound like Terah said, boys, we're leaving, we're moving on, we're out of here. So the key to tying Genesis chapter 11 with Stephen's telling of that story in Acts chapter 7, the key to all that is one word found in one verse in Genesis chapter 12, and I'm going to show it to you. So Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, said, the Lord had said to Abram, leave your native country, leave your relatives and your father's family, go to the land I will show you. Some translations don't put that word had. Some of them actually make it more confusing because they will say now or then the Lord said to Abraham, but like the King James words it in the correct tense. The New Living words it in the correct tense because it's like all this happened, but remember the Lord had spoken, past tense, back in Mesopotamia, back in the Ur of Chaldeans, the Lord had spoken to Abraham and he said, leave your homeland, leave your family, and go to the place that I will show you. We believe in Genesis chapter 11 that Abraham was roughly 70 years old by the time we get to Genesis chapter 12. 5 years has passed. Genesis chapter 12, verse 4 says, so Abraham departed as the Lord instructed. Lot went with him. His father has already died. Abraham was now 75 years old when he left Haran. Okay? So 5 years. 5 years. Stuck in this place that was not the final destination. 5 years. Was it Terah that was following God? Was it Abraham that was following God? And I want to kind of clear that up with one more biblical reference, okay? Because to solve that debate, who left Mesopotamia? Was it Terah or was it Abraham and he just happened to take his father along? You have to dig into the question, was Terah a man of God? And Joshua ironically answers that question for us, okay? In Joshua chapter 24, it's at the end of Joshua's time as being leader. It's the end of his race. He's kind of giving his farewell speech. He's reminding them, you guys need to serve God, serve him alone, okay? And he goes back to Abraham, Joshua 24, verse 1. Joshua summoned all the leaders, including the elders, the leaders, the judges, the officers, so they came and presented themselves to God. Verse 2, Joshua said to the people, this is that farewell address, this is what the Lord of God Israel says. So now, like Joshua is speaking on behalf, almost as a prophet, he's speaking to the children of Israel. Long ago, your ancestors, including Terah, okay, the father of Abraham and Nahor, lived beyond the Euphrates River. He lived in the Ur of Chaldeans, and they worshiped other gods. But I, this is God speaking through Joshua, but I took your ancestor Abraham from the land beyond the Euphrates and led him into Canaan. Okay, so according to God speaking through his prophet Joshua, Terah wasn't following God's direction. Terah was actually serving other gods, because it's very clear when Joshua speaks, he said, your ancestors long ago, including Terah, he calls him out. He says, they worshiped other gods. So this is how we believe Abraham's leaving all played out. When you pull in Stephen's version of Abraham that had been passed down through Hebrew storytelling and lineage, when you take Joshua's words where he kind of calls out Abraham's father, Terah, calls him out for worshiping moon gods, if you will, this is how we think that happened. While Abraham was in Ur of Chaldeans, God had spoken to him, you need to leave your homeland, leave your family, and follow me. So how did he do? He left his homeland, check. Left his family, no check. He took his father, he took his nephew with him, and then thirdly, he said, follow me, eventually check. Okay? So what happened? Why the 5-year delay between the ending of Genesis chapter 11 and the beginning of Genesis chapter 12? What happened? Why the 5-year delay? Verse 31 of Genesis 11. One day, Terah took his son Abram, daughter-in-law Sarai, grandson Lot, moved away from Ur of Chaldeans. He was headed for the land of Canaan, but they stopped in Haran and settled there. Okay? Remember we talked a moment ago about what Sarai's name meant. It meant contentious princess. Sarah means princess. Terah, actually Abraham's father, his name actually means to delay. Haran, that actually means crossroad. Okay? So Abraham's story, he gets to Haran, he gets to this crossroad, and he runs into a 5-year delay. But that's not the only place we see that name, Haran. We read it a moment ago. If you remember, one of Terah's sons was named Haran. Verse 27, this is the account of Terah's family. Terah, the father of Abraham, Nahor, and Haran. And Haran was the father of Lot, verse 28. But Haran died in Ur of Chaldeans, the land of his birth, while its father was still living. A couple of translations get creative there in verse 28. Some of them say that Haran actually died in the presence of his father. Haran died before his father. Haran died in front of his father. They stopped in this town that had the same name of the son that died, and it caused a delay. Pain will do that to us. Pain will cause a delay. Abraham, just out following God's leading, he took along his father, probably out of honor. Canaan land would be literally 1,000 miles away. It would take them days upon days, literally years, to get there. On their journey, they come to this place called Haran. It's the name of Abraham's brother that had died in front of his father. And when they get there, Abraham's father can't go any further. He literally died in the place of his pain. It's just a stop on their journey, but that stop became a dark place. The word is he settled there. Yeah, so we read the Bible, read about Noah and how Noah saved humanity, and Noah saved all the animals. And I love to open up the kids' Bible, and there's Noah, and there's a bunny sitting on his shoulder. It is amazing. And right there by that bunny was a big old hungry lion just behaving. That ain't real. You know what I'm saying? Right? Oh, Noah, thank you for saving all the animals. You got this giraffe sticking his head out the one window in the ark, right? And we read that in Noah's a hero because he saved humanity. And we kind of read that and we celebrate that, but we want to skip the part where Noah made wine and got drunk. We just kind of just skip over that. Don't put that in the kids' Bible. That's not important, right? Then we read about Abraham. He was this man of faith. In Hebrews chapter 11, the hall of faith, he's placed there. He's an old man, and he patiently waited on the promise of God, or that's how we tell the story. And we don't really drill into what happened in Haran. We don't drill into the wrestling that went on there. We don't really know what happened, but we know it cost him 5 years of following God to the place where God would take him. Dad, We can't stop here. We have to go. We're not to the place yet. We're following God. We can't stay here. And his dad would say, I can't go on. This place is, it's got the same name as my son. It makes me just feel close to his memory. I miss him so much. Do you miss your brother? Yes, Dad. Of course I miss my brother. Why don't you grieve for your brother? Dad, I do grieve for my brother. I do, but we gotta go. This is not our final destination. And Abraham had to wrestle through his father's pain. Terah would have died in the place of his pain. And he would literally have to die before Abraham could keep going. I don't want that to be the story for my kids, that I have to die to get out of their way. That I have to die before they can move on with their destiny. And if I could say one thing to you, don't let your past, don't let your wounds, don't let your pain be what hinders the next generation. So if you're taking notes, a couple of things. Number one, it's okay to stop, just do not settle. It's okay to stop. You get tired, you get weary. Sometimes we need to stop, but don't settle. 1,000 miles is a long way to go. You're gonna have to stop along the way. I'm sure that Haran wasn't the first stop. It was just one of many. But Genesis 11:31 says that they settled there. We always regret settling. Settling is almost this acceptance of something that's just a little bit less than what we were going for. Oh, it's okay. I guess I'll settle for that. It's not what we wanted, but I'll settle. The Hebrew word there is actually dwelt. Terah dwelled in his pain. He just lived in his pain. And you know what? It's okay to stop. It's okay to hit pause. Sometimes I don't know about you, but in the dark places of my life, I just get real busy. That's kind of how I deal with pain. Some people just get real busy and pretend it'll go away. Other people just shut down and do nothing. I can just try to out-busy my pain. And there's just time to stop and there's time to deal with it. There's time to do the heavy lifting. There's a time to stop running from your pain. Don't dwell there. Don't settle there. But I beg you, don't let your pain define you, and certainly don't let it define the next generation. And here's why I preach this message. Here's why I mess with all these names like Sarai and Haran and Terah. Here's why I say, we all know people, and maybe you're even one of them, that a tragedy happened in their life, maybe when they were a kid, maybe when they were an adult, maybe it was 30 years ago, maybe it was 3 years ago, but it has permanently marked their life. They wear it. You see it on them, you see it in them. And I fear that was the story of Terah. So much so, it not only impacted him, it impacted the generation behind him because he couldn't let go. He couldn't deal with his pain. We have to stop. It's okay to stop. It's okay to pause. Just don't settle. Don't dwell there. Because it impacts more than just you. Secondly, don't pass your pain to the next generation. I told you what Abraham's dad, what his name Terah, what it means. It means delay. We get a term, a word that sounds similar to that, tarry. We don't use it a lot anymore, you know. But we just waiting that the Lord might tarry. You know what I'm saying? It means to just kind of pause, if you will. Okay? We don't know. It's in the margin of the Bible. We don't know. It's not in the words, it's in the white space, but there's a good chance Abraham did not know what to do with his dad. We gotta go. Like we got to Haran, and then his dad just planted. He couldn't move forward, couldn't go back, can't go forward. He just settled. Why is this important? Whether it's past wounds, hurts, hang-ups, habits, pain, grief, addiction, or even generational curses, because my friends, they're very real. You and I, we have to be the ones to deal with it. It's on you. It's on you. There are things, and my grandfather, as good a man as he was, or my father's, there are things that just generationally get handed down, and I want to be the one to stop it. You have to be the one. You have to be the one to say, the pain ends with me. The addiction ends with me. The generational curse, it ends with me. The giving into the temptation, it's going to end with me. Maybe this is why Stephen, when he gives the account of Acts chapter 7, he gives the Hebrew traditional account that God called Abraham back when he lived in Ur of Chaldeans. God told Abraham, you need to leave your homeland. This place is not good for you. And you need to leave the house of your father. That's how it's translated. You need to leave your homeland, but you also need to leave your family. If Terah wasn't willing to do the work of healing, Abraham would have to get away from it. That is brutal. There's no way we want our kids to run away from us because we can't get rid of our negativity and we can't get rid of our pain and we can't get rid of our hurting, our generational. I don't want that to be my story. I don't want that to be your story, that your kids literally have to get away from you in order to find success in their life. Abraham had to leave his family. He had to leave that wound before he could be fruitful and multiply. Couldn't move forward. Stuck in generational pain. Everybody still with me? Because here's the deal. Everyone has a Haran. Everyone has a place of pain. We all have a dark place, but preacher, you don't know mine. You're right, I don't know yours. I don't even pretend to know how deep, how dark yours is. You're right, I don't. I have my own. I have those dark places where it would be just so easy to just settle there. We all have that place of pain that causes us to question, God, where are you? God, how could you? God, have you abandoned me? We have those places of pain where we got caught in that grief cycle, where we have to go through that just process of grief. We all have those places of pain that help you really find out who you are. So my question for you is, have you settled in your pain, or can you move on? Have you settled in that dark place? Do we see it on you? Do we see it in you? Have you handed that pain and that bitterness and that grief and that resentment to the next generation, or can you move on? And some of you are in that dark place, but you're ready. You're ready to move on, and you don't know how. We want to help you. I love hearing stories about new people that come to Hillspring. Oh man, we had a great time. Oh, our kids loved it. Our kids actually were the ones that wanted to come back. I love that. We had Growth Track on Wednesday night, full house, incredible, fun group, a little spunky. You know what I'm saying? Some of my favorite stories are when I hear stories where people say, no, man, we came here just to heal. We'd been hurt. And I love it when people say, man, after a season of being here and just kind of resting, I begin to dream again. I begin to make progress. I begin to move forward. I got my life back. That's why we so much believe in the power of small groups. We believe there's something that happens in spiritual, life-giving relationships when people circle around Jesus. And there's still time. I mean, we just got them started. We're just a couple of weeks in. We've got some incredible small groups. Some of them we call small churches. I think they're taking up offerings on Wednesday night in Stephanie Bell's small group. It's so big. You know what I mean? You want to connect with one of those, go to our website, hillspring.tv. There's a landing page that just talks about our small groups and lists all the different small groups that we have. Some of you, that's your next step. because we believe there is a massive healing power that is found in spiritual relationships. Like, so if you come to Hillspring and you hear about our mission trips and you hear about our dream team, and but I would say this to you, if you just do one thing at Hillspring Church, get connected into a small group, because we believe they are that powerful. David had his own dark places. David committed adultery. He had the husband of the woman he had committed adultery with. He had him murdered. David buried a baby. David had his own dark places. And after he was on the restored side of life, after he was on the got his life back portion of life, he wrote Psalm 32. And this is what he said, looking back on that. He said, "When I refused to confess my sin, my body wasted away and I groaned all day long." There was help. He just refused. He just refused. And some of you, this describes you. You've settled in a dark place. Someone hurt you in the past. You lost someone. Someone took something from you. And you refuse to go there. You're never going there again. I'm not going to trust anyone. I'm certainly not going to get in a small group room full of people that can hurt me. You refuse to go there. Matter of fact, it's just easier to keep blaming them. It's easier to keep blaming that person that hurt you a long time ago. It's easier to keep blaming a group of people. It's easier to keep blaming God than to take responsibility for my own unwillingness to do anything about it. It's just easier to make excuses and play the blame game. It's much easier to be the victim. Being victim is easy. You get a get out of jail free card when you play victimology. Oh, but I'm hurt. Oh, but I'm a victim. Staying hurt is much easier than finding healing. And if that's you, you'll die in your dark place, impacting your entire family and the generations behind you. For some of you, it's time. It's time. You need to do more than just come on a Sunday morning. You need to do more than just show up. Yep, preaching helps. Faith comes by hearing the word of the Lord. That's what we're doing right here in this moment. Preaching helps. But real healing, real life change comes through the power of relationships that are circled around Jesus. You need to take your next step. And you can do that at our website and connect into one of our small groups and take that next step. And there's one more person. Maybe you've been through your dark place. Maybe like David, you refused, but then you saw the foolishness and you're now on the restored side of life. But no one benefits from that. You're not helping anyone else heal. It's time to just get connected. God gave you a precious, beautiful gift of healing. And yes, Lord, I'm thankful that my heart it's healed and moved forward, but he didn't give it for you just for your own enjoyment. He gave it for you for it to be a gift to the church so that you can help somebody else heal, so that you can help connect with somebody else that's gone through something very similar to you, so that you can help them take their next step of faith and do the heavy lifting and find healing. That's why God put you here. Are you going to give that gift back to the kingdom? It's just time. It's just time. It's time for you to help someone else walk through their hurt so they can find healing the same way that you have. It's okay to stop, just don't settle. And don't pass your pain on to the next generation. You be the one to say that it stops with me. I hope you enjoyed the podcast today. If you did, there's a couple of things I want to invite you to do. First, hit the subscribe button. That way, you won't miss a single episode. Secondly, if this message has impacted you and you would like to help us reach others, visit our website at hillspring.tv and hit the Give Now button so that we can take this message around the globe. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time.